Begin the current daf, Masech des Chulin daf Lamed. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, and that is we had a machlekes between Levi Saba and Rabbi Yechanan regarding when do we define the moment of Shechita. Levi Saba said, Eina l'shechita ela b'saif. The act of Shechita is only at the end when the slaughtering is concluded. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan said, no, yeshna l'shechita mitchila b'saif, slaughtering is the entire act, from the beginning to the end, is qualified as the Shechita. So that the Gemara continues asking on Levi Saba's interpretation that slaughtering is only at the end. Says the Gemara, Mas Rav Yehuda bar Avin. He asked from the following braisa on the halacha of Levi Saba. Now this halacha is talking about by someone who slaughters a korban Pesach on chametz, meaning when he's in possession of chametz and he slaughters the korban Pesach. The pasuk says that Leisishcha the chametz dam zivchi, a person is not allowed to slaughter the korban Pesach while he's in possession of chametz. Now the Gemara Pesachim Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph there includes in that prohibition when someone slaughters other karbanas, where on Pesach itself and he still has chametz, where then he gets lashes for the same law of loisash chadal chametz. Now on that halacha, Reb Shimon says that similarly, if someone slaughters the korban Pesach itself ubemayid, and it's in the Yom Tov, not on the 14th of Nisan, but rather in the Yom Tov of Pesach itself, how would that be? Isn't the korban Pesach slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan? If let's say he lost the korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, so then they brought a replacement korban Pesach. Then they found the original one in the middle of Pesach. They found that korban. Then the person slaughters it lishmai for its namesake to be a korban Pesach, what's called ala chametz when he's still in possession of chametz. So then says Reb Shimon then pater, he's going to be exempt. Why? Because that's an invalid korban. It's not fit for the Karban Pesach to be brought as a Karban Pesach, Shalei Bezmani, not in its time, because it's only supposed to be brought in the afternoon of the 4th of Nisan. And therefore, since it's not a valid Karban, so one's not liable for slaughtering a Karban while having in possession of Chametz, because it's not a Karban. However, Shalei Lishmai, but if let's say, in Yom Tov Pesach, it's a Chalamayid, he brings this Karban, and he slaughters it not for its namesake, but rather he slaughters it to be a Karban Shlamim, then he's liable for, yeah, he's bringing a valid carbon, but he's liable because he's bringing a carbon on Pesach while he's in possession of chametz. Now, the reason why that's valid, Shalei Lishmai, is because a Pesach, after its time, after the 4th of Nisan, is actually sacrificed as a carbon shlam. So here we're slaughtering as a carbon shlam, that's a bona fide carbon, and therefore one would be liable for slaughtering a bona fide carbon in the Yom Tov Pesach while he's in possession of chametz. Now, but one thing the Gemara makes, Rav Yehuda bar Avin makes an inference from the fact that the halacha says shalei lishmai he's chayev. If he does it not for its namesake, does it for a shlum, then he's going to be liable because then it's a bona fide shechita and you're chayev having chametz. The inference is that the reisha that said, oh, but if you do it lishmai, if you do it for the Pesach, you're going to be pater. That sounds like they're saying that even if you did it without any attribution whatsoever, you did it just stama, without saying what it's for, and doing it stama, doing it just as is, that would mean you're doing it for its namesake for a Karban Pesach. Why? Because if you would think that when it says Lishma, you're going to be potter, it means specifically only if he has in mind to do it for the Karban Pesach, which is not a bona fide Karban, and therefore you're potter. But if you did it Stama, then you'd be Chayiv, then that's difficult on the Seifa. Because the Seifa is clearly saying that you're going to be liable only when you explicitly did it Shalei Lishma. So therefore says the Gemara, Vavinaba, we had a difficulty with this halacha of Reb Shimon, that why is it when you do it stam, that you're going to be pater? Because, as we're saying, time of the shalei lishmai, it sounds like the reason when you're going to be chayiv is, and when you bring a chalamayid Pesach, you bring a carbon shlam, you're saying you want it to be as a shlam, then you're going to be chayiv, because that's a bona fide carbon, and therefore you're chayiv having chametz, hastama pater. But the inference is, but if you did it without saying what it's for, then you'd be exempt. Vamai pater, and then we asked, why you pater? Pesach b'shayi meisah shana shlamhu. Automatically, Pesach on all the other days of the year besides the 40th of Nisan is qualified as a carbon shlamim. As the Gemara in Pesachim, Menachim, Zavachim, the older now from the Pasuk that says, V'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem l'kecha tzayin nevakar. The Pasuk says that you'll bring a carbon Pesach, v'Hashem your God, from the flock and the cattle. Now, carbon Pesach could only be brought from tzayin, it's not brought from bakar. Why say bakar? So the Gemara explains, it's the Meister Pesach, the leftover Karban Pesach, is brought as a shlam, in which shlam is brought from Tzayin Nevakar. But one thing you see, that it's a shlam. So why, if you do it stam, you're going to be putter? Stam, it's a shlam. And you're doing a bona fide carbon, therefore you should be chayiv having chametz. Oh, so shmaminam. What we can infer from that is, from the fact that even when you do it stam, we say that it's going to be an invalid carbon, and hence that's why you're putter, is Pesach, b'shayim, 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 b'sh on all the other days of the year, you have to first uproot the title of Pesach from it, and only then is it going to become a shlam. But as long as it wasn't uprooted, it's still considered Karban Pesach, and therefore when you slaughtered even Shalei Bismanai, it's still considered a Pesach, albeit a Pesach Pasel, because you can't bring a Karban Pesach, it's not the fourth of Nisan, but it's still qualified as a Karban Pesach. Although this is actually Machlekes Mesachim Nafgam Ayin Gimel Beis, if one has to uproot it or not. But that was the inference that we made from the opinion of Reb Shimon that Pesach B'shayim Meis Hashanah Ba'yikir. Now, V'amr B'chir B'gamda, he says that Nizrika, it was thrown out, this response that I'm going to tell you, Mepicha Bura, from the mouths of the Chevra, of the group of students in the Yeshiva. V'amr, and they said that no, truthfully, that you could say that you don't have to do what's called Nakir and uproot it. It sounds like over here that you have to uproot it, because if you don't, we're going to say that stomach's going to be like Lishma, which is going to be like for Karban Pesach, and therefore you're going to be Pater. And that says the Gemara, no, Hochmei Skinner, what are we talking about over here in this halacha of Reb Shimon? It's Kagayin Shalayu Bailam. We're talking about where the owners were at the time of the first Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. They were Temeya Mason. They had been ritually impure because they came in contact with a dead person. Now, therefore, what that means to say is, this Karban Pesach wasn't rejected as we had originally assumed it because it got lost. And then we said, then you found it in the middle of Pesach. No, it got rejected because of the owners. The Nidachin, that they get rejected because of the fact that they were Tamei LePesach Sheni, to have to bring it on the 14th of Iyar. Now, this Karban Pesach is fit to bring it in Iyar. Therefore, because nothing wrong happened with this carbon, it was not rejected. The owners were anything rejected. Of course, in that situation, that Karban Pesach in Chol HaMoed, of course, it's considered that we're assuming it's going to be brought as a Karban Pesach. Because, of course, it's the owner that has to wait till Pesach Sheni. And of course, they're going to bring this Pesach. So, therefore, of course, it's still considered, assumed that it's Pesach, what's called Stama Lishma. The Haihu Debay Akira, and that's what he said, only here is where to consider Shlam, you would have to uproot it. Ha'achalei Bay Akira. But in other situations, let's say when the animal got lost and you brought a different one instead, they already fulfilled this obligation and you find this original Karban Pesach on Chol HaMoed, you wouldn't have to do Akira. Yeah, originally it would always be assumed that it would be Shlamim, and actually then you would be Chai for Leisishrat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi. Here it's a different case because it was the owners that got rejected, and therefore they have to wait for Pesach Sheni, and we're assuming that this animal will be brought as a Karban Pesach. But one thing concludes the Gemara Ravi Debar Avin on the question on Levi Sabom. If you say like Rabbi Yechanan, that the act of slaughtering is throughout from the beginning to the end, so we could understand this halacha of Reb Shimon, if Saleh, that it becomes invalidated when you slaughter it stama, when you take this animal on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed, during the Moed, and you slaughter it when you have chametz, now the animal becomes invalidated mitchila shchita, from the beginning of the slaughtering. Because like we're saying, in this case, where it was only the owners that got rejected, we're assuming that even though you didn't say what it's for the Karban Pesach. So therefore, even when you start slaughtering, it becomes invalidated. Why does it become invalidated? Because the Karban Pesach is not fit to be brought any day but the 14th of Nisan afternoon, not the 15th or 16th or 17th of Nisan. So if it becomes invalidated, it's not a valid shechita, and therefore you're not chayav for slaughtering a carbon while you have chametz, because it's not a carbon at all. But if you say like Levi Saba that the slaughtering only happens at the end when you conclude the shechita, now when the conclusion of the shechita happens, it's not a Karban Pesach anymore. Why? Even the shachad beporto, once you slaughter just a little bit, once you make a little cut in the neck, you can't use this anymore for Pesach Sheni, because you already invalidated itchilei mi Pesach. It's already rejected from being brought as a Karban Pesach. Now, since it's not fit anymore to be brought as a Karban Pesach, you said, so then when it's not fit to be brought as a Karban Pesach anymore, you said then you don't need Akira, then it's automatically considered Karban Shlamim. And therefore, when you conclude, idach kashachet, when you slaughter the rest of the animal, shlam kashachet, you're essentially slaughtering a Karban Shlamim. And the little bit that was originally slaughtered in the beginning, that didn't become invalidated because of slaughtering a Karban Pesach Shalei Bismanai, because Levi Saba holds Shechita only happens at the end. So if the only thing that happens at the end is how we qualify the Shechita, at the end what are you slaughtering? You're slaughtering a Shlam. A Shlamim, and you have Chametz, you should be Chayim. Why does Reb Shimon say that you're going to be Potter? So Amalei Abaye answered the question. He says no. Nehi de'itchilei mepesach, although you're right, the moment you start slaughtering a little bit of the animal, you can't keep it for a month later, it's not going to be able to be brought as a Karban Pesach, and therefore it should be rejected and be considered Shlamim. But midmei Pesach miyitri? But do you think it gets rejected already at that point from the value, from the monetary value of a Karban Pesach? In other words, at that point right then, when you're in the middle of slaughtering, it's appropriate to sell that animal before you finish slaughtering and to deconsecrate it for chulin. Why? Because an animal that has a blemish could be sold. A carbon that has a blemish could be sold. A regular carbon cannot be sold. Here, once you start carting the animal, there's no greater blemish than that, because now you can't utilize it anymore as a Karban Pesach. Now, that monetary value is called Dmei Pesach. Now, since at this point right now, you could sell it and get monetary utility from this for to buy a new Karban Pesach, so therefore, we actually would assume that the general shechita of the entirety of that animal is all for Pesach, because right now you could sell it, because it has a blemish, and then it has Dmei Pesach. And therefore, if it has Dmei Pesach, actually, to the contrary, all of that slaughtering is to be considered as if you're slaughtering Karban Pesach, and that's why the stomach is like Pesach, and that's why B'Shimon says, even according to Levi Saba, that you're going to be pater. Now, that says Abaye, and V'chita, if you're going to ask him what I'm answering, oh, how can I say that it has a value because you could sell it? But Boya Hamada V'Aracha, the halacha is that Kachim cannot be redeemed without what's called Hamada, where you stay in the animal there, and Aracha, and you evaluate it, like the Pasuk says, V'Hemenesa. Here, the animal can't stand on its feet because you already started killing it, you already started slaughtering it. On that says Abayim, but what's not? But we learned in the Mishnah, which Tosfos says not a Mishnah anywhere, but it's an inference of a Mishnah later on, the Kofid Zayin of a Beis, that says, Shachet Bashnaim, Oy Reiv Shnaim, if you slaughtered both pipes already of the animal, or the majority of both pipes, but Vadayim Avarcheses, but it's still shaking, Harei Kechayel Chodavere, it's considered like it's alive for all practical purposes, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem about Hamad of Haracha. And therefore, we would consider it as still alive. And therefore, Abai is answering that it's not difficult according to Levi Saba, because you're right. Although according to him, it's not going to be able to burn as a Pesach anymore, but it's still going to be considered as Dimei Pesach. And therefore, we are going to assume that the stomach of this animal is going to be considered as entire Shechita of Pesach. And that's why, even according to him, that's what Reb Shimon was saying, that you're going to be Pater, because it is a Karban Pesach, which is not a valid Shechita, and therefore it's not considered as if you slaughtered an animal while you're in possession of Chametz. Now the Gemara continues with these halachas of Shechita. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav says, Hasheichet b'shnayim v'shleishim mekaymes. If someone slaughters an animal in two and three places, where he cuts over here, and then he starts cutting either lower down or higher up. For example, let's say he didn't delay between the cutting and the slaughtering the amount of time, what's called the psul of shia. Didn't wait so long, but he started cutting one place, and then he cut in two, three different places. Says Rav, Shechitasik sher, it's a valid slaughtering. Ultimately, he slaughtered the whole thing. Now, however, Kimriti Kamei Shmuel, when it was said in front of Shmuel, says Rabbi Yehuda, when I said in front of Shmuel, Amali said to me, no, Be'inan Shechita Mufuras, you need to have a revealed and recognizable slaughtering, which is that it's in one place. V'lekan, you don't have that if you're doing two, three different places. V'af Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Shabbat says the Gemara, also Rabbi Shimon Malakish held, Be'inan Shechita Mufuras, you need to have open, revealed slaughtering. Because the Amr Shemalakish, he says, Benayin L'Shechita Shemufuras, how do you know that the slaughtering has to be a revealed and recognizable slaughtering? Shemalakish says a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Chetz Shachet, a sharpened arrow, L'Shainim is their tongue, Mir Mediber, they speak deceit. But one thing you see that it's comparing when it says Chetz Shachet, saying that Shechita is similar to a Chetz, to an arrow, which is doesn't cut in two, three places. An arrow cuts in one place. So you see, so too a slaughtering Shachet has to be like a Chetz, you cut in one place. However, Masav Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar asked from our Mishnah on Amud Beis, on the second page, regarding this halacha of Shmuel. Mishnah says as follows, Beis Eichzen Besakim Shechten. There's two people holding onto a knife, and they're slaughtering an animal. Says the Mishnah, Fila Echad Milmala Be'echad Milmata, even if one of them is on top and one of them is on the bottom. Now, the Gemara at this point assumes that they're holding two different knives. One's cutting by the neck area all the way up towards the top of the head, and one's cutting on the bottom part of where, closer to the chest, on that part of the animal. Says the Mishnah, Shechitasik Sher, it's going to be a valid slaughtering. Now, that asks the Gemara, Amai, Boleka Shechita Mufuras, how does it help? He cuts over here and he cuts over here, so they end up severing the two pipes, but it's not a recognizable Shechita, because they're two different places. How's that valid according to Shmuel? So Amalei B'Yirmi says, no, Mishnah Seina, our Mishnah Amud Beis, is Besakin Echad V'Shnei B'Nei Adam. It's not two knives. It's one knife and two people. And what does it mean one was on the top, one was on the bottom? It's because they were using the cutting knife on an angle. And therefore, it is recognizable, because you could tell the cut on the diagonal. And therefore, it's not difficult on Shmuel. Now, on that, I was asked the Gemara, Amalei Rabba Abba, Ihachi, but if that's the case, and he's asking this as a question, well then, Haina Detani Allah, that this that we learned in the Braisa on that Mishnah, that says that when two people are doing the cutting, one at the top, one at the bottom, the Braisa says, Ein Chayishin Shemi Yitrifu Zelzeh. We're not concerned that maybe that it's going to cause a trefa from one to the other, that they're going to make the animal into a trefa that has a moral defect. Now, that says, if you say like we had assumed in our question, we're talking about two people with two knives, so Shabbat, you could understand what the Bryce is saying. Because what would you say, that maybe we should be concerned, how can we let two people do it? They might come to rely on each other, he's not going to cut the majority. He's not going to cut the majority because saying, oh, he's going to do it. Oh, he's going to do it. That's what the Bryce is saying, that no, we're not concerned that it's going to be valid even if it's two people that are cutting, one on top, one on the bottom, the animal. But if you say that it's one knife with two people, why are you saying that we're not concerned that maybe they can make it into a trefa? What it should have said is that we're not concerned that maybe they're going to press it down, because two people holding the same thing, where one's leaning in one direction, one's leaning in a different direction, might cause one to press in a certain area and have it be the psul of hadrasa. If you're saying that's one, that it's talking about one knife, then why did it say shemi yitroif, you say shemi yitroisu? On that, I'm later above, and he says, you're right, tonight you should amend the reading of the braisa that says, in chayshin, what we're not concerned for, as we continue to amend bays, we're not concerned that shemi yitroisu zazah. We're not concerned that because this guy's pulling this way and this one's pulling this way, and both of them are going to be pressing down on the knife on the neck, that we should be concerned that maybe it's going to cause that to be chopped down at one shot, and not this back and forth motion that shechita has to be. It should say not shema that yitroifu, but rather you're right, shema yidroisu, which is like the way that we answered. Now, but most of Rabbanan continues asking on Shmuel from the following braisa. The braisa says, shachar esaveshed lamata, if he slaughtered the esophagus on the bottom part of the neck, Vesakanda lamala and the trachea on the top part. Oh yes, a veshed lamala, or the esophagus he got on the top part, closer to the head. Vesakanda lamata and the trachea on the lower part. Shchitasik shared the valid shchita. Amai, according to Shmuel, why? Voleka shchita mafrat's not a revealed slaughtering. You have in two different places. Says the Gemara, who maysab lo who mafarakla. Reb Avin was the one who asked the question, and he's the one that answered the question. B'shchita asuyiku kumas. A similar answer with Tumas slaughtering that's done like a quill, meaning like writing, which is done on a diagonal, where it's all in one place, and therefore it's called a shchita mefaras, because what happened is that he started cutting the trachea, let's say, on the top, and they cut on the diagonal towards the bottom, and where he concluded the slaughtering of the trachea is where he started the slaughtering of the esophagus on the bottom, and so too, whether he's going from bottom to top, is the same thing, but it's considered a shchita mefaras, it's just on a diagonal. Now the Gemara actually brings a story related to these halachas, that Ahutura, the Ishchad B'Shnayim V'Shleshem Kamis, was an ox that was slaughtered in two and three different places, and all Rav Yitzchak B'Shmuel B'Marta, Rav Yitzchak B'Shmuel B'Marta went up, Shalkel M'Shufi Shufi took from the best of those pieces of that animal that was slaughtered. Amalei Rebzeir, Rebzeir said to him, L'madat Tein Rabbeinu, our teacher, you taught us, by your actions, by taking this piece of meat, that Mishnah is saying, the interpretation of our coming Mishnah that says, two people that are holding the knife is even b'shnei sakinim u'beizim le'adam, is even with two knives and two different people that you're saying is going to be valid, where it doesn't have this invalidation, like we said, of shchita mefaras, which is like that teaching of Rav, that it's going to be valid, even though it's cut in two or three different places. Now the Gemara continues with another teaching of Amar B'Yudim Rav, which Tosfos says really should have been on Daf Lamed Beis and Av, when the Mishnah there talks about this psul of chalada, of borrowing. It's just that because Rav in the previous halacha said that a shechita she'enim ufaras, that if it's not in one place, even two different three places, you're cutting in different places, it's going to be valid. That's what the Gemara is saying over here, but he agrees that in this case, where it's going to be a problem because of chalada, of borrowing, where you didn't do it in one act, you did it in like different ways, here it will be a problem. As the Gemara says, remember the Rav, he says, Hichlet esasakin bein simen le simen upaskoi. If let's say someone borrowed the knife between the two pipes, he stuck the knife in between the two pipes, upaskoi, and then he went and he cut the bottom pipe according to how shechit is supposed to be. It's just that he borrowed to get there to the bottom pipe. Then he went and pulled out the knife and cut the top sign, the top simen, from the direction that he's coming in the normal way. Says Rav, psul is going to be invalid. But tachas ha'or, if let's say he only borrowed beneath the skin of the animal and then cut the pipes regularly, k'shera, that's going to be valid. It's not a problem of achalada. So now that's the Gemara, my Kamash Malon, what's Rav teaching us? Tanina, this is, as we just alluded to earlier, a Mishnah later on, the Flamen Bezim Adalf. The Mishnah says, or let's say he already slaughtered the first pipe. Then when it comes time to cut the second pipe, it doesn't continue going in a straight motion. He goes and he borrows beneath the second pipe, upaskai, and then he cuts it. So we find that Rabbi Sheva Vayimer, he says, is actually considered an avela. It's considered like died without shrita, and therefore it's going to give even the tumah of nevela. Kiva Mitrefa, he says, it's not kosher either, but it's not a nevela, it's a trefa. It's just that it has the mortal defect, but you did a shechita. But either way, you see that we know this halach of chalada from the Mishnah. What's Rav teaching us more than the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, even Masnitin, had we only had the Mishnah, Havamina Hanamili Mimata Lamala, we would have known only the way the Mishnah describes it, that going from bottom up, because like we said, you already cut the first pipe in the case of the Mishnah, and then you borrowed beneath the second one. So since you borrowed from beneath the second one, the only way you could be cutting it is from bottom up. There, maybe we would say it's invalid, because you didn't do the way slaughtering is usually done, which is a top-down motion. But if, let's say, even if you borrowed, but if you went from top to bottom, that you did the way slaughtering is normally done, then I would say it's going to be okay. So therefore, in Rav's case, where you went and you borrowed between the first and the second, you cut the second one normally, then you went to the top and you cut the first one normally, that would be valid. That's what Rav, as a teacher, said, no, that was still the invalidation of Chalada, and that's what he's teaching, that you would not have necessarily known from the Mishnah. Now Rav then continued, and he says, but tachas ark share, if you borrow just beneath the hide, the skin of the animal, that's going to be valid. However, says the Gemara, Bei Rav Amri, in the Yeshiva Rav, they said, tachas ark, if it's beneath the hide, ain't the idea. That I don't know if that's a problem with Chalada. Now, based on that, he bugged the following question. Lebei Rav, the Amri tachas ark, any idea, according to the Yeshiva Rav, that they had said that their version was that Rav said that I don't know if it's a problem beneath the hide, then tachas matlas. Then let's say he went and he borrowed beneath a kerchief, between a cloth that was tied around the neck of the animal, and then cut beneath that cloth by borrowing beneath it. Ma, what's the halacha over there? Because essentially, by the skin, it's also not something that has to be slaughtered, and yet still Rav's in doubt that maybe there's still a problem about chalada. So here also, maybe it's the same thing, because you're still going on borrowing under something and then cutting. Or maybe then no. At least the skin is part of the animal itself. Maybe there he had the doubt. But here, it's not part of the animal itself. Maybe for sure here he would say that it's not a problem about chalada. Let's say tachas temer mesuvach maho. Says the Gemara, let's say it's not hide, it's not skin. It's felt, meaning it's matted down here of the wool of the animal. And he borrows beneath that. What would halacha be over there? Would you say that no, that's really, it's not borrowing beneath it because it's all there straight open? Or would you say that it would still be a problem about borrowing beneath that? Says the Gemara, take or let it stand, which Rashi says, all take or regarding prohibitory law, we go stringently and we would consider this a potential problem about chalada babari. Now, Bayer Papa, he asked, Hechlid b'mid simanim. Let's say, after the majority of the pipes are already cut valid, then the remaining minority part of the pipes, he goes and he borrows beneath them, and then he cuts it. Now, what's the halacha? Do we say that the animal is already validated when it's slaughtering, when you slaughtered the majority of the pipes, and therefore what you're doing now is not significant to invalidate it? Or maybe do you say that no, it's all considered one act of slaughtering, and therefore it would have an invalidation of chalada? Because as Rashi says, if it was the first minority of the pipes, then it would be obvious, says Rashi, that would be definitely considered nefela. But here it's already at the end of the shechita, we already validated by the rav, and then you do the remaining with chalada, what's the halacha? So they're going to take it, let it stand, and as Rashi says, therefore we would go stringently. And so what Rashi points out regarding the sugya of hagrama, which is when you go out of the area of the neck, which is valid for shechita during the act of shechita, which we learned in the first paragraph of your testament aleph, whether it's the case of when you slaughtered a third of it in the right place and you went out a third and then you had the remaining third inside, or whether you start off the first third outside and then you slaughtered the next third inside and then the last third outside, or whether you slaughtered two thirds inside and then you went a third outside. Either way, we're in doubt, as the Sugya talks about regarding the opinion that Rabbanu holds it's a trefa in all one of those situations. And therefore, Rashi says, since it's a suffix, we are going to go stringent in all those cases. Now, Rashi points out, regarding the halacha we're mentioning over here, although the Gemara said in the previous daf of Testament Aleph, that if someone slaughtered chatzi gageres, half of the trachea, and then he delayed the amount of shehiyah, and then he finished it off, it's going to be kasher, and the Gemara there explained that we're talking about a case of an oif, of a bird, and the Gemara said, either way you look at it, it's going to be kosher, because if you say 50-50 is like the majority, so you already cut the majority, it was already valid before you delayed. But one thing you see is that when you do the majority in a kosher way, we're not concerned for the invalidation of the remaining part because here you delayed. So why over here with the remaining part, you do chalada, as the Gemara says, it's a taker that it would be invalid. So that says Rashi, right, we don't really rely on that Gemara over there on the Chav Tes, because that's just what's called a dichri. That was just a forced answer. Because says Rashi, really the truth is, the conclusion is that 50-50, as the Gemara really concludes at the end, is not like the majority. And that first slaughtering that you did of 50 was like you didn't do anything. And therefore that first delay that you did when you had cut half of the kana of the trachea wasn't anything significant, and it doesn't make it into a trefa. But regarding the last minority, whether of the trachea or of the esophagus, or the first minority of the esophagus, that would make it into a treif. And that's our Gemara's question. And so Rashi says in the Sefer Halachas Gedailas, he says that when you delayed with the simanim, whether in the beginning or the end, it's going to be also, because like Rashi says, since we didn't resolve the question over here, we have to go stringently and consider invalidation of, like we're told about in our sugya, whether over there like the Bahag of Shia, or like over here regarding the psul of Chalada, that we have to suspect maybe it's considered one part of the act of slaughtering and thus invalidating. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the same opening word of the title of this parak, Hashaychim. Someone slaughters Beis Roshen Ke'echad, slaughters two heads of animals at one time. Says the Mishnah, Shechita Sikshar, it's a valid slaughtering. Let's say Shneim Oichsim Mesakim Veshaychitin, which we mentioned this previously. If two people are holding a knife and slaughtering, where they're slaughtering one animal, even if one is on the top of the animal and one is towards the bottom of the animal, meaning of the neck region, it's still a valid slaughter. Says the Mishnah, which we discussed, does that mean two knives, one knife? Says the Mishnah, hitis as a reish bevas achas. If let's say he chopped off the head in one shot, meaning just like someone he's cutting a reed or a gourd where he's going to press it down very strongly and chop, that's what's known as the invalidation of drasa, of pressing down. Psula, that's invalid in regards to the act of slaughtering. Now, but let's say hayishchichet. Let's say he was doing the act of shchita, which is a sawing type of emotion, of drawing, where behitis is a reish bevas achas. And although he was doing a drawing act, he cut off the head in one shot, meaning in one motion, where he was bringing the knife towards him. He didn't get a chance to then go forward. Or let's say he first went forward, and in that forward motion, he cut off the head before he even pulled the knife back. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, im yesh besakin maloy tzaver, if there's in the length of the knife, the width of the neck of the animal, meaning beyond the neck of the animal, as the Gemara is going to explain. So then, if there's either a forward or a backward motion, ksher, it's going to be kasher, because there is enough of the knife to slaughter the animal with a forward or backward motion without pressing it down. Because let's say if the knife's length is only like the thickness of the neck of the animal, or the thickness and a little bit more, that would have to be, if you cut the whole neck, to be drutha, that you pressed it down. Because the pipes cannot get cut with hamshacha, with pulling in one direction or the other, if it's so small without pressing it down. Now, says the Mishnah, Hayashaychit vehitiz beiz rashim vasachas. Let's say he was doing a slaughtering act, and he ended up cutting off two heads of animals in one motion, in one shot. So here too, imyesh besakin malay tzaver echad, if there is in the length of the knife the width of one neck, which again the Gemara here will also explain, meaning beyond the two necks, there was another length of the knife, because in total it's actually the length of three necks. You have to have an extra neck width in the length of the knife beyond the necks of the animal. So then sure, it's going to be valid. Now, says the Mishnah of Amedvam, and when did we say this, that the knife has a certain length it has to be if you want to slaughter the animal? That's bismatcha ha'ilich v'lahevi. That's like we were explaining up until now, where you only went a forward motion and then you bring it back. Or you were bringing it back and not going forward. Avalam ha'ilich v'lahevi, but if you're going forward and back, afila kosher, even if the knife is a small size, afila bizemel, even if it is a thin razor that's very small, like a scalpel, then kasher, it's going to be kasher. And the chiddush in the zemel is, even though there you could actually make a rabbinic decree that we shouldn't use a scalpel because you might use those which have horn-like protrusions coming out of it, which can make it into trefa. Even so, we're saying no matter how small it is, even like a scalpel, it's going to be kasher. It's only when you want to go one motion, if it's going to be valid without doing hadras, without pressing it down, it has to be the length of that you can move towards at an angle that you're still moving, so you can't just have the length of the neck, because then you're not going to have more of the knife to go to. It has to be another neck of the width in the length of the knife beyond the neck itself. Now, the Gemara says, "Manan mele." We don't know this invalidation of drasa of pressing down on the neck of the animal. That's invalidation in shechita. So Amar Shmuel says, because the Amakar, the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, it says we quoted this pasuk before. Where here we're using in a different context. Chet shachet l'shainim, that a drawn arrow are their tongue. Mimra dibre, they speak deceit, which we're comparing shechita to an arrow. Just like an arrow gets shot by drawing it back, so too, shechita is by drawing it back. It has to be not just a chopping down, but a drawing act, which is the movement either forward or backwards. Now, Tanbe Bishmol was taught in Yeshiva Bishmol. He wanted to bring it from a pasuk in the Yukra. It says, Vishachat, and you slaughter the animal. Ein Vishachat, Elo Mashach. The word shechit itself means drawing. Because so too you find in pasuk in Melachim Aleph, it says, Zahav Shachat, which means to say, drawn gold. Because when they would make the gold soft and then you would draw it, like the copper smiths, that they make threads out of it to make needles out of it, that they would you draw it. So you see that the word shachet means drawn. Vayomer so too says a pasuk, which that was what Shmuel had brought. Chet shachet l'shainim mimer diber, that it's a drawn arrow. That's their tongue. They speak deceit. Now asking about my vayomer, why did they have to bring the tongue of the baby Shmuel another pasuk? Because of chitim is zav shachet. If you're going to say that, what does it mean zav shachet? It means shenitva kechutu. It means that it was spun like a thread. Meaning, you would say that v'shachet doesn't mean drawn, rather it means like shechut, that it's like a thread, and therefore you wouldn't see that the word shachet literally means to say drawn. Tashema. That's why you have to bring another pasuk chet shachet l'shainim, that a drawn arrow is their tongue. When there, it's clear that it's bringing out this point that shechita is being drawn, and that's how you see that hadrasa pressing is invalid. Now, considering this idea about slaughtering like an arrow, so Rava have a badikli girlu Reb Yonah bar Techliva. Actually, Rava would inspect Reb Yonah bar Techliva's arrow to make sure it doesn't have any blemishes. V'shachet ba'ifa b'hadid parach, and he would actually slaughter a bird as it's in flight. He would shoot an arrow and slaughter the bird. That is the Gemara, v'dema avet chalada, but maybe it's going to be borrowing. If you're slaughtering the bird, and it might go between the pipes, that's invalidation of borrowing. How could you slaughter a bird like that? Says the Gemara, chasina, we would see, as we continue to have a v'lam and alf and alf, gitfi, by the feathers around the neck, dimifarmi, that they were sliced. Because if it did chalada from the inside, so then it would actually go out from the width of the opening of the arrow between the wings, and it wouldn't cut it. And the fact that it sliced it, obviously it didn't borrow, obviously that it went and did a regular shechita. So now the Gemara says, fine, so that takes care of the problem about borrowing, but v'bay kisui, bird is one of the types that when you slaughter it, you have to cover the blood. Now, v'chitem in the mechasla, and if you're going to say, okay, that's what they did after he would shoot with his bow and arrow the bird and would drop, he would then cover its blood with earth, but v'amreb zeira marav, he says, asreichet tzarch sheit and offer, the one who slaughters a wild animal and a bird has to place soft dirt lamata beneath the blood, because the reason why it has to be soft is because if the earth is hard, that's not considered offer on the bottom. It has to be something that's soft that it could be buried in. And earth on the top. Shlomek says in pasuk in Meyikra, it says v'chiso be'offer. You cover its blood in earth. Offer lenem. It doesn't say you cover with earth. And la be'offer, rather in the earth. It sounds like it has to be totally concealed in the earth, meaning in the earth beneath it and the earth on top of it. That teaches that the one who slaughters has to put earth on the bottom and on the top. So how could you go ahead and shoot the bird with an arrow? You don't know where it's going to drop, that the blood should be going on earth that you already prepared beforehand. Even if you can put earth on the top, that's not enough. Says the Gemara, demas malela offer the kula paska, or the gear is actually paksa, that actually what they did is, they would actually prepare that whole valley, its earth, they would first go ahead and move all the earth around and crush it. Or they actually had, it was a place where there was soft earth that was prepared there beforehand, and then they would shoot the birds. So they would go to a place where they would shoot the birds, where they already prepared that whole valley area full of soft earth, and therefore there wasn't a problem with Kis Adam, and therefore wherever it dropped, it already would go on the prepared earth, and then they would put the earth on top of the blood that was already, after it was killed, and therefore that took care of that thing too, and therefore that's why he allowed them to go ahead and actually shoot with a bow and arrow to go ahead and kill the bird in the way of slaughtering.